Back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples with Pottawatomie County Commissioner Dee McKee here for just a few more minutes. We'll also have a guest from Fort Riley coming on here around 9:45. Back to the budget here a little bit and some of the tax information. Dee, this whole revenue neutral rate thing is kind of confusing, but if you kind of explain for our listeners kind of why counties are being required to have these hearings.
It's complicated. It was the opinion of the chair of the tax committee after visiting with somebody in Utah that this was a good idea, that no matter what growth you had, you would not increase the income by simply using that growth at the same mill levy. So if you were at one mill and you would get $100 and you had growth, you might get $150. I'm putting numbers way down here. But
sure.
So if you're going to exceed and use the growth money, you have to do a publication. And every agency, school district, library system, everybody that's going to exceed is supposed to have a hearing and let people come in. Well, we always did have a hearing. We published in the paper, and everybody was to come in and talk about the general budget. So we do it all together yet, but now we have to spend time next year sending a letter to every voter about any of those increases. The thing that probably irritates me most is you can't have growth without needing that for some kinds of support and drainage and sewer and everything that's going on. So if you're growing and you can't use the growth without this complicated, and it's going to take manpower time out of the counties to do this, it's problematic. The thing that irritates me most, and I guess I'll say back to the taxpayers, is counties are being blamed for raising taxes, but they have handed us the responsibility of doing driver's licenses. We now have all the courts. We have to do intensive supervision for people, and they're saying, well, we need $200,000 more to do intensive supervision of people who have big charges against them. Mm-hmm. From the right ruse. So all those things come up. They took away the mortgage registration fee that was paid for by the bankers and the people doing the mortgage, and now all the taxpayers get to pay for that because there's no money coming in. For some counties, that is like a $100,000 or $200,000 loss. Revenue sharing money from the fuels tax has been held on to Topeka without sharing back, but that was originally passed so that you could keep local property taxes lower. There's a local revenue sharing tax that was supposed to come back, and they've taken it. So at this point, with the publication, the state is now keeping 20 mills at the current increased appropriation, valuation, and they are not publishing everybody and telling you what they're going to do with it. But what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Local control is really here. You can talk to a commissioner. If you've talked to your legislator or your House member or your Senate member recently about something that you don't like, it's darn difficult. When you try to code in Topeka last year, the doors were closed unless you had an invite from them because of COVID, and then their secretaries aren't there when they do the final session. So it's kind of a jab at local government, people who really are there to serve, and I don't think irresponsible is the correct word, because we have to now plan both that event with all of its costs and the question of how do we do what we need to do to grow, like we were talking about earlier.
Mm. Well, and it's not just Pottawatomie County, it's everybody. So we've heard school boards having to do this, city, you mentioned it. And ultimately, most people only want to know, are my taxes going up or are they going down? That's really the...
Well, some of this is labor to do the stuff that we could be using for things that we need, because it's like with the nurse, we're going to have it. We approved four more positions to help her out during this time. It's being paid for with some of the money that's coming down in the act that came out of the federal government. We have the need of more support for Road and Bridge because COVID and the competition, all the developments that are going on and stuff, anybody that's got a CDL can come and make a pretty good life. And we just gave that a boost the other day. The only person who came to our tax hearings was a gentleman who said, you understand the cost of living is going up about 5%, and I think your employees deserve to have that money if that's what they need. And that's very significant. I'm very much for doing the things for security and safety and necessity, and the things that are quality of life are not something I can do, and that includes things that people want to fix up just because they like it. And it's not that I don't love them. I give them the opportunity. I'm talking about the old courthouse, but I've offered it to them. And I'll go ahead and start a foundation to take care of it. But we have 18 items in our county that are on the historical register. And if they do not have the support of people that really feel that's what needs to happen, the general taxpayers should not have to take that on, in my opinion. And hey, I'm one of three, and I don't get my way all the time.
No.
So that's it.
You know, and you know, there's still a you bring up staffing, and one thing that comes to mind here, and I know you guys have voted on this more recently, is you still have a public works administrator position that's unfilled.
Yes, and we increased the salary on that. My point is to probably having hired over different jobs is to do salary depending on qualifications to negotiate with what we really need. We need strong people because it's not like having half the miles and bridges are complicated, and it is not in our hands always to do what we need to do. Highway 24, we have, even the condemnations were $750,000, not condemnations, but acquiring right-of-way cost us $750,000 on top of what we have to do on that. And so you take a look at things that need to be built along a busy area where there are houses and other things. If we don't do it up on the front side, it costs us more on the back. And that's the reason I really push to try and do these. I hate to bring the bridge up all the time, but if we know where we want it to go, then the right-of-way, when a developer comes in, can be given to the project. If we don't, they own the ground, and they have the ability to say, well, there's some negotiation in there, but the clarity of defining where roads will go is another project that we're getting from the military right now, and that study should be done in after September. There'll be a hearing, and then probably October, November will be done, but just knowing where we should connect roads and put them makes, we don't always have to stay on the mile line. We can curve around a creek maybe and save having to do some big bridge and access where we need, and that's what we're asking them to do with drone studies and elevation studies for the Blue Township area. There's always something going on. It's just, I don't know what I'm doing sometimes, I say, but I'm good at it. We just keep trying.
Well, I mean, there's challenges, and anytime you have growth, there's always going to be challenges. And I'm just curious, well, I'll make this my final question here before we wrap up. Just, do you think you have a little more leverage now for the future of that bridge, knowing the census numbers, and maybe have a little more leverage there?
I would hope so. You can't make people drive. Like I said, when I came in, we're back to one lane on 24, and we'll be there while we turn and do Green Valley to the new school. We're going to be one lane for a period of time. I just got a note that they didn't think they'd do a stoplight over on Excel Road because it didn't seem reasonable. I just read that about 1 o'clock this morning from the engineer that's consulting with us. And they have, if we want it, we can get a temporary for $10,000, and I can't just say yes to that. But when you look at it and you think maybe that would make a difference when trucks are coming out of the elevator and have to go across two lanes when it's backed up clear to 2 miles out of town, that they're going to get in there sometime. But it's just, I'm not a traffic control person. It just doesn't, that and the new facility on our side on 24 for the city, where everybody will be turning in and out. We can take the pressure off of this road, it would be fine, but that's not what seems to be any kind of priority. And so, again, I'm the one who gets the calls. How come this is happening? At least I don't feel lonely. Thank you for asking. You know, we'll keep working on it. It's just very difficult to see all those cars going to Oliver Brown and coming back out while the residents who thought they had kind of access are all backed up waiting to get to work and spending time on it. It's going to be if they still do the one cross from Levy when they do the Manhattan garages, or that's going to be another close down for a period of time probably to build those turn lanes. And I understood from talking to Mr. Farr that was going to happen before they started building, but matter of fact, it was in the minutes that way. But I understand their wish to move ahead, but I wish they would move over to where the county is and share the shop and leave us have the opportunity to grow for the area.
Yeah.
So, wishes.
All right. Well, Dee, we appreciate the time here this morning, and we'll see you again sometime soon, I'm sure.
Thank you. Thanks for letting me come in the door.
You bet. More in Focus returns after this in just a moment on News Radio KMAN.